proceed to the fourth case, Acruthas versus Metropolitan Life. Mr. Rakoff.
May it please the court, my name is Michael Rakoff and I represent Metropolitan Life Insurance Company in this matter. As your honors are no doubt familiar, this case involves a remand order issued by the United States District Court for the Southern District of Illinois in a case that founded in ERISA. Plaintiff Acruthas brought an ERISA action in state court against MetLife. MetLife then proceeded to remove that case to federal district court on federal question jurisdiction grounds. Thereafter, Ms. Cruz has filed a motion to remand the case to state court based upon the proposition that there was a statement in the insurance plan which stated, quote, you may file suit in state or federal court. MetLife opposed this remand based upon the fact that the phrase, you may file suit in state or federal court, is mandatory disclosure language required both by the ERISA statute and contained in the model disclosure statement set forth in the federal regulation. Consequently, MetLife argued that given the fact that the statement was clearly labeled as a federal disclosure, it could not constitute a forum selection clause and there could be no waiver of MetLife's right to removal, that in fact it was not a forum selection clause, that MetLife had not waived its right to removal, and that the matter should remain in federal court. Nonetheless, the United States District Court for the Southern District of Illinois remanded this case to state court, and this appeal followed. Your Honors, MetLife submits that to date, there is no case that has ever held that the phrase, you may file suit in state or federal court, is anything other than an ERISA rights disclosure mandated by federal law. Indeed, the Ninth Circuit in Clorox considered exactly the same issue and concluded that this language is simply a federal rights disclosure, is not a contractual waiver of a right to remove, and that a district court in that case erred by issuing a remand. Similarly, district courts, which have considered the issue, three different courts in various locations throughout the country, considering the identical language, have all concluded that this is not a contractual form selection clause, that no remand should follow based upon it, and that insurers, if they're put in the position of having, insurers are put in an unfortunate position if this language is construed to be a forum selection clause. Indeed, an insurer like MetLife would be required to decide whether or not it wanted to comply with the requirements of ERISA by including the phrase, you may file suit in state or federal court, or not comply with the requirements of ERISA in order to preserve its right to take these actions up to federal court.
Are you saying that every ERISA plan or contract or whatever, what document do you describe this as being in the...
This is the insurance plan itself.
Okay, the plan. Is it a requirement that it be contained in the insurance plan?
It is not a requirement that it be contained in the insurance plan. It is a requirement that it be contained in the summary plan description. In Satterfield, the district court recognized that in that case, the material had been contained in a summary plan description. It's supposed to be contained in a handbook, and the court said that there was no distinction there because it was clearly language drawn from the Code of Federal Regulations.
So you're saying that every ERISA plan at some form of document has, by requirement, has this language in it?
Yes, Your Honor. You are supposed to provide, under ERISA, language which tells the potential insured, the potential litigant, how to vindicate their rights. And in the CFR, the federal government has seen fit to provide a specific way that they say that you can comply with ERISA, and that CFR contains this, you may file suit in state or federal court language, which MetLife was simply following when it put this language into its plan and specifically labeled right at the top that this was an ERISA rights disclosure. And
does MetLife have, as far as you know, all this in its ERISA plan? This in all of its ERISA plan?
It has it. To my knowledge, Your Honor, this is a standard provision that MetLife includes in its plans, and this is of great impact and concern to MetLife because MetLife could potentially now be put in the position of not being able to remove any of these actions to federal court if this clause is construed to be a forum selection clause, and that is a significant concern.
Well, they could amend their plan. Parenthetically, but this is a notice. It's not a forum selection clause.
Yes, Your Honor, but that would have to be on a prospective rather than a retroactive basis, and up to this date, no court's ever held that the language was anything other than a federal rights disclosure.
Oh, but I'm just, you know, the sky is falling kind of argument that everything's going
to
come to an end here if it's true that you have to litigate this in state court.
I agree, Your Honor. Certainly MetLife could proceed to litigate this case in state court. However, it's always been MetLife's expectation that it would get to litigate these cases in federal court, and to date, the case law had indicated that this was simply compliance with the Code of Federal Regulations and not a forum selection clause.
This doesn't have anything to do with the merits, but why does somebody like a company like MetLife prefer a federal forum?
I would believe, Your Honor, that it has...
Don't say that because the judges are so much better.
I would believe, Your Honor, we would like to create a consistent body of case law with respect to ERISA, for one thing. Obviously, MetLife handles a great number of ERISA cases. Furthermore, frankly, MetLife probably has an interest in securing what it believes to be a more favorable forum, and not to be patronizing, probably does believe that it's going to get more consistent adjudication of ERISA issues in federal court would be the answer to that question. Your Honors, I will reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Rako. Ms. Parker?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Elizabeth Parker, representing Shannon Kruthus in this matter. The ERISA statute upon which appellant relies in its removal action, in this case to federal court, states that federal district courts shall have exclusive jurisdiction over civil actions brought by participants and beneficiaries except for actions to recover benefits due under the terms of a plan, to enforce rights under the terms of a plan, or to clarify rights to future benefits. For these actions, state and federal courts enjoy concurrent subject matter jurisdiction. Shannon Kruthus's lawsuit is such an action. It was brought by her as a beneficiary to recover her benefits due to her under the terms of this ERISA plan. So under the stated analysis, both a state court of competent jurisdiction and the United States District Court share concurrent jurisdiction to hear this claim. However, on page 37 of Kruthus's disability insurance policy from MetLife, policy provides, if you have a claim for benefits which is denied or ignored in part or in whole, you may file suit in a state or federal court. The fact that, as MetLife points out, that this language is drawn directly from the code of the federal regulations doesn't invalidate its weight as a contract term. In enforcing the forum selection clause, the district court relied on authority from this court, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which repeatedly has held that when parties freely negotiate a forum selection clause, the clause is to be enforced in accordance with its terms, except for in exceptional circumstances. MetLife has failed to demonstrate any such circumstances in this case.
Well, but it has to be determined that this is a forum selection clause as opposed to some regulatory requirement, wouldn't it? I mean, there's not a mandatory requirement to say that one party can confine this to state court.
No, there isn't. And that clause, the clause under review here, does not need to appear. It's not required that it appear in the policy. However, MetLife chose to and did insert that clause in the policy, and therefore it is negotiated contract term. It's a valid term, and it should be enforced.
Well, this was certainly filed in state court.
It was filed in state court, and as
it didn't say it had to stay there, does it?
I beg your pardon?
It doesn't say it has to stay there. It really says is you can't file most things under ERISA in state court. I guess a lot of things have to be in federal court. Certain things can be filed in state or federal court.
That's right, they can, and that the plaintiff, in this particular case, the clause that MetLife inserted into its policy gave the claimant, the plaintiff, the choice of fora, and Ms. Cruthers chose state court, and that's where the case belongs. The removal, as you bring up, it doesn't mean it has to stay there. The removal in this case, because of this clause, which the district court found to be a form selection clause, made the removal to federal district court improper. It should not have been removed. MetLife argues in its brief that the statement in the subject insurance policy is not a form selection clause, but merely federally required advisory language. They seem to be arguing that the fact that the clause it inserted directly into its policy of insurance is that the fact that it's from a federal statute serves to weaken its application. If anything, it seems to me that it would strengthen it. However, the fact is that MetLife chose to and did insert the clause directly into its insurance policy. It's a valid contract. It's a valid contract term, and this court should affirm the district court's remand to the state court.
Where should this language be placed so that the insured is on notice that it can file in state or federal court if it's not in the policy?
Well, as in Clorox, which the appellant cited, it was in a handbook, so it was not in the policy itself. It was in an employee handbook.
That is another. What about summary plan and all that? That's part of the contract, you'd say?
You're asking me if a summary of
I'm
the plan.
I'm just asking where, if this is required to be disclosed somewhere, I'm just saying, well, where should it be disclosed where it would not be a basis for confining the suit, let's say, for the plaintiff's choice of having it in state court?
Yes, Your Honor, and I suggested, for example, in an employee handbook.
That would mean it could be, they would still be able to file it, but that could be removed if it was only in the employee handbook. Then.
Yes, Your Honor. If it's not part of the contract term. If it's not a term of the contract.
Ms. Parker, this language is required by federal law, right?
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that it was bargained for. Is there any evidence that this is a bargain for provision?
The language is required by federal law. It's not that it is required that it be a part of the policy. The federal law requires that the language be provided to the beneficiaries,
right.
But it does not have to be a part of the contract. MetLife chose to make this and insert it into its contract. It's part of the contract. Thank you.
Thank you. Rachel?
Your Honors, to address the point regarding where the language should appear, we quoted, set forth in our brief, the section of the language at issue, as well as the heading under which it appears. And the heading is, quote, Statement of ERISA Rights, which is followed immediately by the statement, the following statement is required by federal law and regulation. And then, underneath that heading, several paragraphs down, is the language, you may file suit in state or federal court. So MetLife made it abundantly clear to anyone reading this document that, as I stated, the following statement is required by federal law and regulation. And it simply isn't credible to to assert that that language is a bargain for forum selection clause, or that it's anything other than a mandatory disclosure required by federal law. We said so in the plan, and I don't believe that it's credible to assert otherwise. Your Honor, unless you have any questions, I have nothing further.
Thank you, Ms. Rakoff. Thank you, Ms. Parker. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the fifth case, Craig versus